Good afternoon. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's good to see you all. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Let's bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Our Father, we give you thanks for the time we have this afternoon to assemble together from two sister denominations, two sister congregations, to rejoice and celebrate what you did nearly 500 years ago and what you have continued to do in the Church of Jesus Christ since. Father, we do rejoice in the work of Luther and Calvin and the other reformers, but we also rejoice that you continue to reform your church, continue to revive your church. And we would pray, Father, that we would see that continue in our generation as well, that you would glorify Christ here in this assembly. We ask this of you in the name of the one who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Reading from Deuteronomy chapter 12, we'll read verses 29 through 32. Hear now the word of the Lord. When the Lord your God cuts off from before you the nations which you go to dispossess, and you displace them and dwell in their land, take heed to yourself that you are not ensnared to follow them, after they are destroyed from before you, and that you do not inquire after their gods, saying, How do these nations serve their gods? I also will do likewise. You shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abomination to the Lord which he hates, they have done to their gods. For they burn even their sons and daughters in the fire to their gods. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. Thus we've read 29 through 32, Deuteronomy 12.
If you'll take your hymnals and turn to page 845. We have the Apostles' Creed. Let us confess Christian faith revealed to us in the Scriptures as summarized by this creed. Christian, what do you believe?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into heaven.
The third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And when you take your eyes off the text, be careful where you come back down, right? Our New Testament reading is found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 15, verses 1 through 20. Hear the word of God, Matthew chapter 15, beginning with verse 1. Then the scribes and the Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, Why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. But he answered and said to them, Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? For God commanded, saying, Honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me has been dedicated to the temple, is released from honoring his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Hypocrites! Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. Then he called the multitude and said to them, hear and understand, not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? But he answered and said, every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into a ditch. Then Peter answered and said to him, explain this parable to us. So Jesus said, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. May God bless the reading of his word. Let's go to him and get together in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for these two passages and the ones that we'll be looking at in a few moments. Open our eyes that we might see the things that your word has taught us, the things that the reformers understood, and that we might, like they and many in between us, bow the knee and bow the head and confess Christ and Christ alone is our Lord. Let us rejoice in his salvation, and we beg of you that you'd help us to walk with him. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. If you'll turn back to Deuteronomy 12 for a moment. This portion is used in the Westminster Confession of Faith in the area of worship. And there's a reformed doctrine that comes from verse 32. If you look at the context, in verse 29 and following, it's about worship. In verse 30, take heed to yourself that you're not ensnared to follow them, the gods, that is, and the nations that were there. That after they're gone, you don't say, how did these nations worship or serve their gods? I'll do the same. And then in verse 31, in English at least, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way. Clearly, the context is about worship. And so therefore, when we come to verse 32, in the Reformed faith, we refer to this as the Reformed doctrine of the regulative principle of worship. Whatever I command you, be careful to observe it. You shall not add to it, nor take away from it. I'm here to tell you there's something behind the regulative principle. Something actually behind the solas that we got to look at a few years ago when we gathered together. Warren and Mark and I and Mr. Kearns from Zion opened the Word and we looked at the solas. There's something behind them in the Reformed faith. And it's right here in this verse. But I think to open it up, when you look at the context here of worship, you might not see that broader opening. So let's turn back a few pages to chapter 4 and verse 2. You're going to find a phrase that's very, very similar to what we just read in verse 32. But it's in a broader context. In fact, let's read from verse 1. Now, O Israel, listen to the statutes and the judgments which I teach you to observe, that you may live and go in and possess the land which Yahweh, God of your fathers, has given you. You shall not add to the word which I command you, nor take anything from it, that you may keep the commandments of Yahweh your God, which I command you. Did you see that phrase that we found in chapter 12, verse 32, here in 4:2? You shall not add to it, nor take away. That's a phrase we find throughout Scripture. But here, it's not in the context of worship. Here, it's in the context of all the commands and statutes and judgments. It's a much broader context. Verse 2 of chapter 4 and verse 32 of chapter 12, however, are telling us exactly the same thing. We might want to call it the regulative principle, but we should not limit it to worship. The regulative principle encompasses everything that God has given to us. Everything we believe, everything we do, is bound by this regulative principle. In worship, as in chapter 12, verse 32, yes, in worship, we worship God the way He says to, not the way we decide to do it. But everything comes under the regulative principle. Not add to the Word of God in any way, shape, or form, or take away from the Word of God in any way, shape, or form. And that's, to turn back to Matthew for a few moments, that's the whole problem here in chapter 15 of Matthew's Gospel. The Pharisees come to Jesus as tattletales, like 4- and 5-year-olds. You know, did you see what your disciples were doing? Why do you let your students transgress the tradition of the fathers? They're not washing their hands before milk and cookies. They're going to get germs. I love Jesus' response. Because He treats them not like children, but like adults. And He really puts them in their place. And why do you also transgress? But there's a shift, do you see it? Not the traditions of the fathers, but the commandments of God. And then He goes through one of the examples of how they found a way around the clear teaching of God's Word. How I don't have to honor my father and my mother. How, in fact, I can curse my father and my mother, which God condemns, by the traditions of fathers, and I could be oh so pious doing it. Oh so religious. Oh so super spiritual as I violate the clear commandment of God. And Jesus smacks them right across the mouth with Isaiah's words. See the flow in verse 6? Thus you've made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Why should I worry about whether these guys wash their hands according to the traditions, at least when you're complaining, because you use the traditions to turn the commandments of God upside down and to make them of no effect. You are hypocrites. And Isaiah talked about you. Man, that's pretty powerful when you put your finger in someone's face and say that one of the greatest apostles of the Old Testament, prophets, excuse me, of the Old Testament, is condemning you for your behavior. These people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart's far from me. In the context of Isaiah, that's when the day when people would show up at the temple, they'd be very, very faithful to the outer rites, and they'd leave the temple and violate the commandments with glee. Oh yeah, they came and they worshiped and they paid their tithes and they did all the things that the law demanded of them except the serious things of the law. They may have kept the regulative principle for worship, but they didn't keep the regulative principle of the Word of God. In vain they worship me. Do you see that line? If we keep the regular principle of worship and we're like these guys, who cares about the regular principle of worship? If we're violating the rest of the regular principle of the Word of God, in vain they worship me, instead teaching as doctrines the commandments of men. This is what Jesus is concerned about. Are you going to follow God or man? In this passage, we don't have that language of adding to or taking from, but we have the gist. We've got the thrust of it. I want to back up a little bit. Well, let me hold on. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. And now, not from one of the Gospels, but look at two passages in Pauline writings. In Colossians 2, basically 21 and 22, we read the Apostle Paul talking about the regulations of other men with do not touch, do not taste, do not handle. We're not exactly sure where that phrase comes from. Some suggest a proto-Gnosticism. It certainly sounds like the kind of legalism that the Pharisees had and the kind of legalism that Luther and Calvin faced. But he continues to say, which are all concerns which perish with using. He ate without washing his hands. Yeah, but the stomach acid will kill most of it. Or he ate squirrel. We had a squirrel die in our backyard yesterday. Tag team from our dog and our cat. If they hadn't, I wouldn't mind shooting them and eating them, but I'm not going to have it after the dog's left it laying around. But if I did, it perishes with the eating, doesn't it? But look what Paul goes on. According to the commandments and doctrines of men, he's picking up the language that Jesus carries from Isaiah. Isaiah, Jesus, Paul, they're all on the same page. You don't undo the commandments of God by the commandments of men or the teachings of men. In Titus chapter 1 and verse 14, similar language, similar concern. Sorry, verse 14. Not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men who turn from the truth. There are a number of other places we could look at. Again, we don't have the language so much of adding and taking away, but we have that thrust of what the adding and taking away amounts to. It means taking away God's commandments and sticking in man's commandments. Taking away what God has said we have to do and doing what I want to do. And I'm a reasonable individual. I have rational mind, certain amount of intellect. I could come up with a lot of reasons to do the things I want to do. It's a glorious thing being a rational being. Except, of course, when it means overturning God's commands for mine. This language of adding and taking away is also found for us in the book of Proverbs. I was kind of shocked when I was looking this up. Proverbs talks about that? Yeah. Proverbs chapter 30, verses 5 and 6. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield to those who put their trust in Him. Did we sing Mighty Fortress? It's not drawn from that passage, but some of that language is there again. Do not add to His words, lest He reprove you and you be found a liar. There's two lines there that match up. Every word of God is pure. Don't add to His words. Why? Because every word of God is pure, and none of mine are. All of my words have some contamination. Don't listen to Roy Miller. Listen to the Word of God. Don't follow me. Follow the Word of God. I'm a sinner. Christ is not. I'm fallible. This is not. His word is pure. He is a shield. My words will not shield you. His will. Finally, the whole book closes with that language. Revelation chapter 22, verses 18 and 19, familiar words. But it's that same regulative principle. For I testify to everyone who hears the words of the prophecy of this book. If anyone adds to these things, God will add to him the plagues that are written in this book. And if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, there's a textual thing about whether it should be book or tree of life. Let's just set that aside for the moment. Clearly, John, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is using the same phraseology that Moses, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, used. Don't add to my words. Don't take away from my words. These aren't John's words. They're God's words. What Moses delivered were not Moses' words. They were God's words. And the heart of the Reformation was obeying this. Not adding, not taking away. Going back to the Bible. And hearing the Word of God again. Not allowing the traditions, the commandments, or the doctrines of men to overturn what the Bible said. Not allowing the traditions, commandments, or doctrines of men to make the Bible unclear. But to scrape away the traditions and the commandments and the doctrines of men to get back to the traditions and the commandments and the doctrines of God. Now, brothers and sisters, anytime anybody does anything for any period of time, it becomes a tradition. And traditions can be good and traditions can be bad. In fact, in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul uses the word tradition to refer to the gospel and the Christian faith. It's something that's handed down and something that should be preserved. Some traditions aren't good, bad, or indifferent. When Jan and I were first married, we decided we wanted a tradition of our own, and that is that every Christmas dinner is lasagna, because it's nature's most nearly perfect food, next to Reese's Cups. Is that tradition obscuring anything from the Word of God? No. If we put it up there equal to the Word of God, we had a problem with it, right? I think, is Adina maintaining that tradition? Good for her. But if, after several generations in our family, it becomes gospel, it needs to be scraped away and eat something nasty like pineapples. Turn to the Word of God. It's pure. It's holy. It saves your soul. And Luther and Calvin and Booster and Swigley and all the others, including my hero, Johnny Knox, wanted to get back to the Word and remove anything that stands between the people of God and the Word of God. That's what the Reformation was all about. Those commandments, and those traditions, and those doctrines all point us to Jesus Christ. The problem in the time of Jesus, when he's speaking those words found in Matthew 15, and the problem in the time of Luther and Calvin was that the visible church was obscuring by its own teachings what God had said about how to be reconciled to him. Not something trivial or even silly like lasagna for Christmas. The red seems to go with Christmas, doesn't it? But with what's going to happen to your soul? What will be your eternal status? What must I do to be saved? It's not join the Orthodox Presbyterian Church or the Reformed Church U.S., but it's to come to Jesus Christ and Him alone. Now, I happen to think our two churches are not only pretty close to each other, but as close as we've been able to come thus far to the Word of God. You've got a few things you need to work on.
as if we didn't. But we do need to work on anything that keeps us from this word. Any tradition or doctrine, commandment of men that comes between us and the word of God, that keeps us comes between us and the gospel. God has brought a condemnation upon it, a curse upon it. Old and New Testament, the curse remains on those who add to or take from his word. We're going to quit early, but just one more thing I want to add. And that is this. There may be something worse than adding to or taking from. And that is neglecting. And holding high our Reformation principles and being so proud about them and never turning to the Word as the means of grace. God forbid that that should be true of any of us. This is the Word of God, which is pure. Let us hear it. Let us read it, study it, memorize it, and meditate upon it. These are the words of life. Let's drink deeply. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before our God. Our Father and our God, we give you thanks for your word. And we give you thanks, Father, that your word makes abundantly clear, not just in worship, but in any area of life, your commandments trump the commandments of men. Your words are pure and ours are not. Your word is a shield and our word is a sieve. Let us treasure it, love it, learn it, and live it. We beg this of you in your Son's precious name. Amen.